Good morning. May it please the Court, opposing counsel. My name is Richard L. Carlson, along with co-counsel Neil Zasoff. We represent the plaintiff appellant, Renardo Lynch. And we're here today asking the Court to review the district court decision and opinion granting summary judgment on the basis of a lack of evidence of causation. However, because the Court can affirm a judgment under any theory that is supported by the record, we also raised duty, breach of duty, and causation in our brief. And we also, in the alternative, if the Court finds there isn't sufficient evidence on the in the record establishing a fact issue with causation, we would ask the Court to remand it back to the district court to fully develop this. Now, the underlying facts of the accident are very, very straightforward, easy to understand. Our client and another coworker were on their hands and knees. They were helping construct a chain link fence. They're working on attaching a piece of hardware to one of the vertical poles that holds this horizontal pole or rail. And while they're working on it, it falls down.
Why didn't someone at least measure the top rail and the distance between the posts? Would it be rather easy to determine whether it was cut too short?
It would be, and I agree. But the defendant did not, or Metra did nothing after post-accident that appears in the record in discovery, and I'm going outside the record, but they did nothing to investigate to determine what the fall was, and now that is one of the reasons or the basis of their main argument is that, oh, we don't know. We don't know what caused that pole to fall down. Well, in part is because a definitive answer it can't be reached because there was no post-accident investigation done. Now, we do know that the pole was, the top pole was probably 11 feet to 14, 15 feet. There is some conflicting testimony. We do know that those vertical poles are 8 foot tall. We do know that there is a, this is actually
so
on.
The distinction between that 11 feet and 14 feet for the top of the rail?
Yes, Your Honor. That's what there was no definitive, but that's the
were
plaintiff.
There plans that they were going by?
I don't believe there was. Well, there was some plans, but I can't answer that. I'm not sure. That doesn't appear in any of the depositions. Now, getting, I don't think there's any dispute as to duty. And just to back up, this case is brought under the Federal Employers Liability Act, FELA. And under that, the statutory language says that a railroad is liable for all the negligent acts of its officers, agents, and employees. Now, so there is no, I don't believe there's any dispute as to duty. And the specific duties that we're alleging the railroad had was, number one, to follow their own policy or adopt and follow their own procedures with respect to inspections of the workplace while projects are being done. And then, number two, there also is a duty to discover or make inspections and discover safety risks and take reasonable precautions to remedy those. Now, what we argue that the railroad breached that duty when they failed. They did have in place, and I don't think this is disputed, they did have in place a procedure where all the employees and supervisors were required to make ongoing inspections of the work. Now, when the questions were put to the fact witnesses, to the crew members, and to Mr. Lynch, you know, what inspections were actually done on that morning? Well, Mr. Lynch and Mr. Ivory Scott, another coworker, said they're not aware of any kind of inspections done that morning. When Mr. Scott was asked, well, again, specifically, you know, on that morning, goes, well, you know, that's a good question. And I don't know who was in charge, or excuse me, who was responsible for making those inspections. A second coworker, Mr. Otero, testified that, and he was the fellow that was right next to the plaintiff on his hands and knees working at the base of the fence when the pole fell. He said, you know, because everyone is responsible for inspecting, I just assumed that it was going to be done. And then in turn, the question was asked, well, did you inspect or expect Mr. Lynch to inspect? And he goes, no. Now, and as a sideline, any kind of notion that Mr. Lynch's any alleged contributory negligence somehow bars this claim has holds no water, because it under the FELA it only diminishes the recovery of the plaintiff. Now, the Metra argues here that and cites the evidence that there's all this no one took exception, no one saw any bent bars or anything like that. But that begs the initial question, was any inspection ever done specifically at the morning? And there is no evidence or as in the record that specifically states that anyone actually inspected that hardware that holds the pole or the top rail in place. Now, turning to causation, and under the FELA, and there's a lot of litigation that was recently came about, and it came out of the Seventh Circuit. McBride was recently affirmed by the Supreme Court that reinstated the relaxed causation standard under the FELA. But even under torts 101 or proximate cause, we have a direct cause here. We have a bar that's above these two workers. The two co-workers who are very experienced, one has 10 to 11 years of experience, another one 19 years of experience in this doing this type of work, testified that the bar would only fall if it wasn't properly secured. And that properly secured would be for two reasons. Number one, the poles cut too short, and then number two, that hardware isn't properly been placed or tightened. And then after that happened, and no one can definitively say that, but they certainly are based, they have the foundation, they have the knowledge to make that distinction. And then the bar fell. Gravity took over, and it's as easy as that. I'm already in my rebuttal time, but I just wanted to, unless the court has any questions, I wanted to point out that both the district court and opposing counsel refer on Coffey case, and I believe Judge Williams was on that bench that decided that, and that was a much different type of situation. Involving a much more convoluted fact situation, exactly, and speculation as to how this object in a locomotive where it was located, and whether the plaintiff's head was even in proximity. And the court talked about these missing links, placing the alleged safety risk in proximity to the plaintiff. Here, there is a direct link. You got a bar; it's not properly secured. It falls, bam! It hits the plaintiff. With that, I'll sit down. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. Montes?
Please, court. Maryvale Montes on behalf of Metra. A couple of years ago, I got this case across my desk, and I looked at the preliminary information that was contained in the file, and I said after I looked at that, what was the negligence on the part of the railroad? I went on and took discovery depositions in this case. I asked Mr. Lynch specifically what was the cause of this incident, and he said, I don't know.
Look, from a common sense standpoint, the only reason a top rail should have fallen is if it was not properly installed for the terrain, or there was a defect in the material that caused it to fail. And either of those conditions arguably should have been apparent if the rail had been inspected. Why isn't that enough to survive summary judgment?
Well, because specifically they were asked what caused it. Nobody can point, even today, can point to what caused the pole to fall. Now, they did ask these two other individuals, Mr. Scott and Mr. Otero, in the alternative. Nobody knew what happened. So they said, well, what could cause this to happen? And so Mr. Otero took it and said it could have tipped out because of the hill. It could have been because it was improperly cut. But you know what? He wasn't asked a follow-up question. Did it fall because of the hill? Did it fall because it was improperly cut? Did you guys have to recut this and place it? I think the testimony is clear that they basically took the pole and put it right back up again. But if you want to look at what the facts are, I went with what the plaintiff was going to tell us. The plaintiff specifically said to us, I don't know what caused it to fall. He specifically said, nothing that me and my coworkers did on this date caused that pole to come down. So we're still sitting here today wondering what caused it. And yes, it's possible that these things, but those were not explored. And summary judgment came after the close of discovery in this case.
Look, the court below dismissed the testimony regarding the terrain as speculative because the witness guessed as to the exact grade of the hill. But the witness testified that it was a steep hill, and that testimony was undisputed. Why should a witness's inability to precisely identify the grade render the testimony speculative?
Well, because you actually, we did ask Mr. Lynch himself. Now, Mr. Lynch, the plaintiff in this case, had over 25 years experience, had himself been a foreman for 7 years for Metra. Not at the time, but he had been a foreman himself. I specifically asked Mr. Lynch, did this, the fact that you guys are on a hill installing this this fencing have anything to do with the way this occurred? And he unequivocally said, no, it did not. Now, Mr. Otero said, I think we were on a steep hill, but he didn't specifically say it was the hill. Now, if you want to make Mr. Otero or Mr. Scott, in this case, experts, one, they were not properly disclosed that way. Two, he guessed at what grade the hill was, and there's a photograph attached to the briefs, I believe.
The photograph is the actual scene of the...
Yes, and these photographs were taken after this incident, and I believe the very next day that these photographs were taken of the incident. And again, we go back to what Mr. Lynch tells us. We're going to take what Mr. Lynch told us is true. He specifically stated that the hill had nothing to do with this incident. He also specifically stated that nothing that he and his coworkers did. So I ask you, if he says nothing that me and my coworkers did to cause the pole to come down, then where is the negligence on the part of the railroad there?
Look, whether the plaintiff believed it to be the cause or not, the plaintiff also introduced testimony from one of the employees who was working on the fence. And that witness indicated that the grade of the hill could have caused it to fall out. And the failure to identify the precise grade, in my view, just doesn't render that testimony speculative.
Judge Bucklow, in stating that was speculative, I think looked at the totality of the circumstances. She also looked, and we did point out the fact that Mr. Lynch, too, again, 30 years with the railroad, didn't say anything about the hill itself causing. I mean, his statement was unequivocal. It had nothing to do with it. So it was disregarded. Now, no additional information came out of than these two depositions that were taken. The foreman wasn't taken. The issue of the inspections, Mr. Scott stated,
the plaintiff produced evidence that although all employees were responsible for reporting unsafe conditions, no one inspected the top rail. So, therefore, no one noticed whether it was safely installed or not. And given the steep terrain, that failure is particularly problematic.
Well, again, I have to point the court back to the fact that we asked Mr. Lynch, did it have anything to do with how this incident happened, and he said no. The fact that the hill was not, nobody came in and measured the hill and actually figured out what the grade was. The fact that they had already installed 300 feet of the same fencing and on one end of this fencing had already installed over this grade. The fact that they had a job briefing before they commenced work that day and that nobody identified any concern. Now, every employee is required to identify any safety concerns, and nobody did. Given the fact that there was five or six individuals there with over combined 60 years of experience in doing this type of work, nobody raised an issue, and they didn't raise an issue because it wasn't a concern.
See, I think you have such a, for me anyway, you have an uphill battle because everyone agrees the negligence standard under the FELA is lax. You know, it requires, well, our court noted in the Williams case that the evidence has to be scarcely more substantial than pigeon bone broth. I mean,
and that's correct. The Williams case, there was a summary judgment was entered on behalf of the railroad in that case. It involved an assistant conductor that was on a moving train who said that the door suddenly slammed on him as he was going through it. This court here held that there was no constructive notice under the FELA in this case, and that specifically in that case that there had been no evidence of how the door itself closing in that case could be traced back to the railroad's negligence, because Mr. Williams in that case had not provided, other than saying this happened, he had not provided any additional information that would link that back to negligence on behalf of the railroad. They didn't say that there was a lack of inspection in that case. They didn't say it was anything. And in that case, summary judgment was affirmed by this court. I would also point the court out to Deutsch versus Burlington Northern, which involved an injured brakeman who fell from a ladder. In this case, and I believe, Your Honor, Mr. Kahn, Judge Kahn, you in this case held that there was insufficient evidence in that case to hold negligence against the railroad, where this injured employee said he was climbing up a ladder on a locomotive, he had slipped on grease. Now, I think the testimony in that case was that there was some grease in the yard generally. However, he could not pinpoint how the grease got onto the rung of the ladder that he was climbing at that specific time. And basically the holding of this court was that he'd failed to show the scintilla of evidence that's required under the FELA because we couldn't tell where the ladder had, where the grease on the ladder had come from. And this is the same thing. I think that this case is very similar. The fact that the pole fell does not show its negligence. Liability is based on negligence, not the fact that an accident happens. And I think that's exactly what we have here. Unfortunately, that was not developed, I believe, by plaintiff in this case. They had ample opportunity to go ahead and depose and take measurements and do a little bit further work, and they didn't. And so when I saw that that hadn't been done up to the point where we were, I filed a motion for summary judgment, and Judge Bucklow said that she believed that there was insufficient evidence, and the evidence that was there was speculative. And I think here in recent case, in this coffee case, here in this circuit, they basically said there was no evidence adduced as to why that visor, this involved locomotive engineer getting into an engine that bumped his head on a visor. There had been not sufficient evidence adduced in that point, and that they basically said it was pure conjecture on the part of the plaintiff in that case to say this is why that accident occurred, and it's very similar to the facts in this case, I believe. I believe that Judge Bucklow was right in holding that that there was nothing but rank and speculation in this case, and she should be affirmed.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
What? Oh, God.
Well,
did you ever see anyone so miserly in your life? I don't know.
Well, I will try to make this very quick. First of all, this is a lot like trying to find out determined causations, a lot like what a medical doctor would do for differential diagnosis. You got a bunch of known causes of an illness, and you factor out what those causes aren't, then to finally determine what caused it. Now, we do know that it wasn't caused by the plaintiff or Mr. Otero work at the base. It's not caused by any kind of weather condition. It's not caused by an act of God. A jury would have to speculate, with the way the evidence is in the record, as to a cause other than the plaintiff's or defendant's negligence of failing to properly inspect and secure that hardware. A jury would have to speculate to draw a different conclusion. Now, Metra centers on Mr. Lynch's testimony. they can, at trial, which we believe we should get, have our day in trial, they can cross-examine Mr. Lynch and say, isn't it true, and you don't know what the cause is. They can do all that, but we have the testimony of Mr. Scott and Mr. Otero that specifically sets out what would cause that board to fall. Now, I'm going to just touch real quickly on our alternative issue. We do believe there is sufficient evidence on the record establishing causation. If there isn't, we would ask that the court, and if I may just summarize real quick, remand it back down. And Costello, which Judge Robner was on the panel, provides an excellent discussion of the burden shifting requirements under Rule 56, and we contend that the Metro did not properly raise or meet that initial burden of proof. With that, we would respectfully ask that the court reverse the district court's opinion and let Mr. Lynch have his day in court. And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. The court thanks both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.